It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in interior Alaska. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now for your hosts, Kirk Maynard and Jamie Napolsky.
Hi, Jamie.
Oh, that's weird.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but it sounds quiet today. Well, I just need to turn you up.
I think we know that you're not quiet.
If I had more than a feeling left, that would maybe hurt it, but it's just one.
So hurtful.
Okay. Let's talk. So we have a bunch of things to talk about today.
A bunch.
Let's start with lessons learned. Let's start with your topic.
Okay. My topic is MLS exposure versus quote unquote private listings.
Yes.
And private listings are ones that you might see office exclusive or private listing or pocket listing or coming soon, but not on the MLS, and how that actually hurts sellers and buyers for that matter. And so it's been talked about. Compass Realty wanted to go all private listings, in-house listings. Who knows where the market's going to go with that. But Bright MLS, it's might be the largest MLS in the country. And I thought they paired up with a California regional and one other MLS. But anyway, they looked at 1 million homes sales over 4 years. And so thousands of home sales. I'm sorry, not a million, but thousands of home sales. And they found something important, which are homes exposed to the full MLS and public market generally sold for more money than homes privately off the market. And that shouldn't be, rocket science. It's just supply and demand. You don't have the demand without having the proper exposure. So, but the study found public MLS listings sold for approximately 13 to 17.5% more.
Right.
It's a big friggin' number.
Say that again.
It's 13 to 17.5%.
Right. And most realtors are charging.
Because we don't want to get any trust issues.
Let's hypothetically say that you hypothetically pay around 6% for both sides if you're the seller.
Right.
So that, or let's go back to what it used to be.
Generally one rate. It's what you charge or your office charge.
So
just so you know, we don't all collude together set rates.
No, we don't. But
that would be a violation of the Sherman Antitrust.
100%. But let's say most people think it's about, I lie, because I just met with a client to potentially buy and sell. They want to sell their house and then buy a house. And they said, you don't charge 10%? And I said, where did you get that? And he goes, I don't know. Because he's already bought
house. Maybe land or something.
And so he just said, I thought all realtors charged about 10%. So I thought, I don't know. Again, maybe that's just and here's what I genuinely
thought. There's market numbers. There's market averages.
But I genuinely thought, because you tip 20%, right? what would a realtor make maybe 10% of the whole deal?
Most of the world doesn't tip.
Right.
States does, but.
Oh my gosh. Are you insane? Off topic. I went somewhere the other day. I can't remember what restaurant I was at. And I don't know why for the life of me. You know how you always see on those Facebook marketplace things or Facebook ads, not marketplace. Facebook ads. And I was somewhere where it said the amount, it said tip us this much, uh-huh. And this is what it is. And I did the math for the first time. I've never done the math.
$1, $2, $3.
Yeah, but I just took what they suggest.
Yeah.
And then I did it was wrong. Like it wasn't, if I took that and did that and gave them what they were asking, I was actually giving them even more than what they were asking. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is funny. I mean, again, most of us don't. We totally trust what it's saying, thinking it's mathematically doing some kind of equation for us, and then we're giving
weird.
Them what they should be getting.
You're saying like 15% was supposed to be $3.22 and it wasn't?
Correct.
Oh.
But, when for the most part you're going out to lunch or you're going out to dinner and your bill is 60-some dollars or 50-some, mm-hmm. Nobody's eating lunch anymore for less than almost $20 a plate. I mean, there are some places in Fairbanks still,
yes.
But you're eating for quite a bit of money. So, yeah, it was just fun. It was funny. Mm-hmm. I still gave a great – I will say this. If you would have asked me in college about customer service here in Fairbanks, some of the places here had the worst customer service I've ever seen.
Jamie's point to all this is if you sell your house off the market,
yeah,
that's fine and dandy, but would you save 6%, 3%?
Right.
I mean,
and then in the end, I mean, normally when I'm talking to somebody who wants to sell, like if they're not interested in using a realtor, I normally say, using us and utilizing our services and going on to the MLS and using the exposure that you're going to get to all of these different services is going to pay for it pays for itself.
And but the math is if you do this, you're saving yourself anywhere from, let's call it 5% to 17.5% is what you're losing. Losing out on. So do the math on whatever your house is worth. And again, yes, we're biased. We obviously are we want our jobs and we want to get paid and list your houses, but there's math and science here that backs that up. So anyway, so the off-market listings, whether you're doing for sale by owner or you see the exclusives or pocket listing or private listing coming soon on the MLS, it's only hurting you, not helping you.
Yeah.
And that should be, I mean, pretty easy to figure out because you're not getting it out. You're not getting out there. You know, you're not getting exposure. It's not going on the MLS.
Right.
It's not getting competition. There's no syndication. You know, we syndicate to, I think it's over 200. Our national listing distribution goes to another 200 websites, and we get buyers coming from everywhere. It's all different types of places. It's not just from the MLS, but a lot more than the MLS. So that's a key reason right there. And it just makes sense. So.
Yep. Well, there's a couple houses right now. So I did a big search just because I have I have five buyers that have been looking, but they're looking for specifics. So we're either looking for a specific condo, we're looking for a specific house
Me
in
too.
A location,
yeah.
We're looking for a specific maybe duplex, or it could be or a specific area. So because of that, I'm looking everywhere. I'm on Facebook Marketplace. I'm on Zillow.
Yeah.
I'm
Lisa
on
Lisa does the same thing.
For sale by owner. Yes. And then of course, if someone in our office has mentioned they're looking for that, then I'm also just like, oh my gosh, this might work. This might work. This might work. But because of that, sometimes I'm shocked when I do stumble upon a really cool house or duplex or condo or whatever that looks pretty nice. But it has no documentation. It has no additional information.
Right.
They've maybe done a really good job with ChatGPT writing up some kind of sale ad. They've taken some pretty nice pictures.
Right.
But
is this the FSBO?
Yes, for sale by owner.
Yeah, and yep. No offense to FSBOs, like, but they're awful with having what we need to make informed decisions.
Or there's one house, and I won't call it out. But the photographs, like it could be cool. But the photos that were taken are so bad that I can't see it very well. So
and I'm big. Number one, number two things for me are photos and remarks. Those are the top two things.
So I can't tell size. Like my client found it. One of my clients found it, and I can't tell size of things. And the way the staircase looks, I'm very concerned about it lending. Because I'm not sure if the staircase. So part of me is like, I don't want to waste my client's time. I almost feel if I should go out there myself, do a showing, check some things out. But then sometimes I'm like, it's so hard to get a hold of. So anyway, it's just something to think about. And I also think sometimes I really wish, you know, for sale by owner or people that want to take things and hold them off the market and not let them get the exposure, I really wish they'd meet with multiple people. I did talk to a woman.
Multiple agents?
Yes, multiple agents. I just am like, give people a chance. See if you get a good feeling for somebody and let them explain what they do a little bit. Because I think sometimes, you know, I think more agents are trying to take to the internet and explain a little bit about their job and, you know, like, please don't judge us or, you know, let us explain what we do. Or if you've been burned by an agent before, there's other people. I mean, that's like saying you've been burned by a salesperson before and then you're never going to experience that again. Or you've had a bad customer service. Like, I've had bad customer service in many places in this town, in many places. And there's no way that I would never give them a second chance. I don't know if that's a bad wait staff. I don't know if they've hired a summer crew. Again, all the time, restaurants or places are being bought out by new people. Things have been changed around. Or somebody is saying, oh, my gosh, they're so good. And so it could just be, you know, sometimes I'm like, maybe I wasn't in the mood for that. And maybe I just misjudged that. Now, if I go several times and I'm kind of like, wow, I'm spending really good money. I say this, I remember taking my husband on a date one time and we went somewhere to go eat. That restaurant has since changed hands, since gone into a new building, has much better customer service. The waitress never came back to our table. Never. Like, I actually had to go to the front place to check out.
Sorry, I don't know why that annoys me so much.
And so I was laughing because he was from Chicago. He was very new here, and he said, is this an Alaska thing? Is this, do you not, like, is it just like a one and done? And I started laughing, and I was like, oh, no. I mean, that's just
an Alaska thing.
Yeah, but I was like, no, there's better places. We won't come back here again. But I've definitely tried that place again. I've definitely gone back. So it's, you know, it's kind of like if people are burned by a realtor in their past, I think to myself, find somebody else. Interview somebody else. There are people out there that are not the same. We're not the same people. We're all very different. We all provide different services. You want somebody that's going to advocate for you. You want somebody that's going to give 110. And hopefully that's on, you know, maybe it wasn't on your first transaction, but it'll be on your second transaction. And so you never, and again, I can attest to that on the client that I have currently who said I had two very bad transactions and we're going through our third third transaction of purchasing something here. And so far, you know, I said, no pressure. We're going to find what you want. He has a very specific need. And so I send him stuff all the time. Some things, if he doesn't respond, I've now learned that means he doesn't like it. If he responds, we have to go see it and then we think about it. And so I let him know if I think it's in an incredibly desirable area that it will go very quickly. So, and that he's okay with that. And I'm just like, okay, no problem. So it's just things to think about.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's.
So she's saying, you know, instead of going for a sale by owner, meet with some, you know, interview a couple agents and pick one that works, you know, you jive with and that works well for you.
Yes.
Other reasons. So when a property is fully exposed, more buyers get to see it. More agents bring clients through. More showings occur. More offers can develop. And sellers are more likely to maximize price and terms. When you don't have it on the market, exposure is restricted, then the buyer pool obviously shrinks. The competition should weaken, and sellers might not even know what the open market would have paid. So you're missing out. So that's a conversation we're having with sellers. And there's some that don't make sense. I don't think there's any but in Fairbanks that makes sense, but, you know, there's some big Supreme Court justice selling their house, and then you know, maybe they don't want the earth. Are there some? I mean, I've sold all sorts of federal agents clients, and they don't care. I mean, DA.
I could see when you were talking about this, maybe like Susan Butcher, if she had been selling her house, like I could see if people were just clamoring to see how she lived. You know what I mean? Like, because I think she was a pretty, like, I only say that because every time we bring our relatives, they were just like, oh my God, that's Susan.
Did you know I rode on a jet ski with her?
No, that's even funnier.
When I worked on the Riverboat Discovery, she would do her dogs up in, you know, at her dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
So, I mean, we do have a couple people that I could see that would just be like, or I've been to a couple houses. I had a client, there was a house I think that was like, yeah, no, I mean, again, we just don't have that. I think everybody should be able to listen.
We don't have celebrities. No. We usually don't have any privacy concerns.
If you consider yourself a celebrity, we apologize.
Yeah. there are, I guess, maybe once or twice I've had a sensitive family situation.
Yeah.
Usually tenant complications, at least with us, we let them all know ahead of time if there's always a possibility something's going to change in somebody's life and the house could go for sale. So we nip that in the butt ahead of time. So at least we don't have usually tenant complications. And so we usually don't test pricing quietly. Security concerns we usually don't run into. And we don't really have a lot of luxury markets up here. So I just, you know, it's not a $30 million whatever sale. It's just, it doesn't happen. So so sellers should understand the trade-off. So just less exposure, less competition. Less competition means less money.
Yeah.
That's it. All right, so, should we
take a break?
Should we take a little break?
Oh my gosh, we never do this on time.
I know.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio. Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues.
97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, kfarradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week, every hour, every day. Plus, 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to kfarradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Lisa's in Hawaii.
Oh my gosh. Still in Hawaii. That's awesome.
She comes home tomorrow, I guess.
Does she?
Maybe.
She booked her ticket? Oh, you don't even know?
She did get on the plane. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Not a done deal yet.
She's on a plane. That's good.
She's not even on a plane. She's
considering
she's
getting on a
plane? She's supposed to get on a plane tomorrow night. So.
Oh, okay. Huh.
But did you see the temperatures?
No.
Yeah. The next 2 weeks, it's supposed to be like in the 30s is the low. And
oh, so she
low
was
50s
like,
in the high. Yeah.
Why should I stay?
Yeah. 2 more weeks. 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Must be nice.
I would have stayed in Hawaii.
She did for almost a month.
I know. It's so lovely, though.
Yeah. Well, breakup's over, so.
That's true. It's so weird. I just went for a walk the other day. I think it was yesterday. And I couldn't believe how green. I just forget. This is why I tell people about Alaska, what I think is so crazy about Alaska. And I have done this when I recruited at the university. I would tell people this. The winter can be really incredibly hard here, but then the spring hits so quickly. Like it just goes from meltdown to breakup to boom.
Green out.
Yeah, green out. And then everything hits so quickly and then we're in summer. And it makes you forget, like, what was winter like? It's so lovely. It's just so nice. And everything's so relaxing. And the summer is super long. You know, I mean, it feels long because the days
five months,
feels really
long. Tour season mid-May to mid-September.
Yep. And it's totally chill because the days, you know, feel really like, dun, dun, dun. Yeah. And then all of
That's
a sudden.
Why people snowbird.
And then you're excited because you're kind of like, okay, it could cool down a little bit. Yeah, this would be nice.
That's
you're
true.
Excited about the first snow.
Yeah.
And then winter really gets in,
yeah,
and then you're just like, oh, I got to go on a
slapped in the
trip.
Face.
Yeah. But I go, you just forget about stuff. Like, I forgot how fast everything turns green. It was just weird. And I was listening to the radio. I was listening to a different station. I don't remember. And they were saying how fast everything was greening up. And we've already had the first farmer's market, and people should get out and go. So, yeah, very exciting.
So okay. If you're just joining us, we were talking about off-market listings versus on-market listings. Bright MLS did thousands of homes over 4 years, and they found that off-market listings sold for 13.5 to 17% less than on-market listings. Off-market listings you can think of as a quote-unquote office exclusive, private listing, pocket listing, coming soon, all that garbage. Those are off-market listings, and the on-market listings are obviously ones that are going to the MLS. They're getting syndicated. They feed to hundreds of other websites. So, so it's just the bottom line was that sellers should be making decisions that are, you know, informed and just intentional.
Yeah.
So our job, Jamie and I's job, is to create the largest possible audience for your home. The more qualified buyers competing for your property, the stronger your negotiating position usually becomes.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Agreed.
It's even more amplified or magnified in Alaska or in Fairbanks. Buyer pools are already smaller than the bigger metro areas. Every serious buyer matters. Jamie just said it perfectly. She's shopping around with people that want something specific. And when they find their specific house, then they'll offer on it. But they're not going to offer just on.
Right.
It's not 2022 again where everybody's shooting each other for a house. It's they're wanting something specific. And interest rates at 6.5%, buyers are just going to be picky on what they want, make sure it's the right thing for them. So these serious buyers even matter even more in our market. And then limited exposure in our small market just can reduce competition even faster. So, again, it's all magnified.
Yep.
It becomes even more important. What's important nationwide is even more important up in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yeah.
Sound
so,
right?
Yeah, it does. So I think, when it comes down to some things that I really wanted to touch on, just I think with the couple weeks I've had, is I really, really want to go back and encourage buyers to shop their lenders. And I think here's a couple things that I think that is happening so I have a big buyer pool. I don't know how, I wind up with a much larger buyer pool than I do sellers. And I just think that I gravitate to a lot of people are buying. I run into a lot of people that are buying. I think that I have people that are selling, but they're selling in different like pods.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a set, like I just sold a condo. I have another person that's going to sell. I have people lined up, but they don't line up all at once for me. But my buyers do. So I just have a lot of buyers that are buying. And of course that makes more sense to me that there are less people selling than and we just have a lot of people
right.
buying.
And you have 5 years worth of,
yes,
grabbing people from
yes.
various places that
right all over.
Maybe it was COVID and maybe it was 2022 where people are shooting each other for homes and
right.
now it's interest rates. And so you just have buyers that
right.
maybe couldn't buy or didn't want to buy or weren't ready to buy.
Yes.
For various reasons. You've been collecting them over the years.
Yes. And again, I think also I've put people in duplexes. I've put people in triplexes. They want to setting them up to do the rental and then get them into their forever home or a home that is the next step. Because that was a big sell for me for quite some time is we can't get you the house that you want. Let's get you into this. Then you can save. Then we can jump. Then we can do this. Again, if I could go back and didn't do 20 some years of property management, I think I would definitely go back to some rental stuff. I'm 110 like Tony, like our property managers, and I just don't know that I have the energy. I have the energy for clientele, but I don't know if I have the energy to be like, yes, I'm coming over. I'm going to dip your tank at 2 a.m. I'm more like, yes, I'm going to be there at 8 a.m. Yes, I can do A, B, and C. Like I had no problem yesterday zipping out to go like they were like, trust me, the garage doors are fixed. The company came out. I'll get your receipt. And I said, you know what? We had a garage door that was broken. I really wanted everything to go perfectly for closing. I drove out to North Pole. I took a video so they could hear the garage doors had no issues. I videotaped both of them. And then I called the title company and I said, we can record. And could I have trusted everybody on their word that everything was fixed? Yes. But I thought if I was a buyer and I was buying this home and I had spent that much money, I would just want a video that everything was finished and everything was perfect and that my realtor had done that. And I just thought that's what I would have wanted,
mm-hmm.
especially if I was at work and I just want everything.
So you're doing the final walkthrough virtually?
I did the final walkthrough already. The garage doors were broken. The garage doors were fixed by a company.
Mm-hmm.
But normally, I always ask, when I send companies out, I always ask them to videotape the fixed results.
Gotcha.
So that I can send the fixed results. I didn't have a video. So because of that, I drove out to the house. I videotaped it. And then I sent it to my buyers. And I said, everything is fixed. Everything looks perfect. Do you feel good? I'm going to release everything and let us go to record. And they said yes.
Can you tell the audience why we don't record the transaction and disperse money to the seller if there are issues during our final walkthrough.
Oh, yeah, that's super fun. Even though, I've been very lucky, very lucky that I've had addendums or money put in escrow or other backup things.
And that's the key, is yes. Chasing sellers is impossible.
It is. If your seller,
over 23 years. Yeah, and
if your seller wants to walk, your seller is going to walk away. And this is what I genuinely believe.
Once they get their money, yeah. They head for the hills.
And that doesn't always happen. I do have sellers that have come to the table. They really do want to fix things. They want to make things okay.
But not on average.
Correct. But I've also had sellers and buyers or whatever that the attitude feels very good through the entire transaction. And then we close and the stress of everything hits everybody a very different way. And behaviors that you've known or attitudes that you've had change.
That's
and
true.
People do a 180 and all of a sudden you get something that you don't expect, or they say, I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to, I've had, they're not going to pay commission. They're not going to pay a bill. I had somebody shut the power off at 40 below. And I just thought, it's 40 below. Why would you not give us the day? They actually called the power company somehow. And normally the power company is amazing and has reached out to realtors. They shut it off the day prior to recording, and we didn't know that. So when we went out to record, or the day we recorded, so we had already done the final walkthrough, power was working, they had it shut off after knowing when our final walkthrough, somehow they got the power shut off through the power company. And then when we went out there, it was 40 below. Luckily, everything was fine. The house was still very insulated. But I was shocked. And that was not the behavior of the seller through the entire transaction. That was like, even the other realtor went, I don't know what happened. So, we had to pay an extra fee to get it all hooked back up. And it was horrible. And so I just think that if you can do anything, you hold, and I do. I mean, every transaction I've had this year, I've literally said, I'm so sorry, we need to hold recording. I will call you when I'm ready to record. I need to double check A, B, and C and make sure these things are done, or the chattel is there, or this is finished, or I've got confirmation of this and that my buyers feel fine with where we're at. Unless the buyers say, yes, we're ready, I don't want to pay anymore, I want to do this, we feel comfortable with how you've set this up, there's money in escrow that could be taken, the buyers have agreed, or the sellers have agreed to, they understand that we could go to court with this addendum, whatever. I don't particularly like that, but, we have done some workarounds, but otherwise I think it is imperative that you hold recording if you can.
Yep. Do you know some people don't even do final walkthroughs?
Yes, which is shocking.
Isn't that nuts?
Well,
I think it's only in our market,
yes,
because I've been on conference calls for our statewide conventions and talked to other brokers in Anchorage and other parts of the state, and they all do final walkthroughs and they all share that final walkthrough with each other, and in our market, they don't.
Yeah.
And it's done countrywide. I don't know why in Fairbanks people aren't doing final walkthroughs.
What I'm really shocked about, though, is even in some of these final walkthroughs, it's not as detailed sometimes as so. Like they were. So here's an example. Like I just did two final walkthroughs in the last week. They were shocked that I turned on the shower. So I turned on every fixture that could turn on water, hot water. So I had to feel hot water come on.
Yeah.
And they said, what are you doing? And I said, well, cold water is easy.
Yeah.
But I got to actually feel it kick on hot water.
What if there was no water?
Right. And then I said.
Which you had, didn't you?
Yes. And then I said, I would like to figure out how the shower turns on for you and how some of these fixtures actually work, if they work. So, they had this really fancy tub. And I was like, I don't know if all these.
Sorry, I have to talk to Glenn about our Luke Day,
oh, okay,
which you need to plug before we go.
Yes. So, I wanted to make sure I actually knew how the stuff worked and that it could actually work, so that we weren't actually winding up with something that was broken. They were shocked for this one that I actually opened the garage doors. They thought that was hysterically funny. So, which I was like, why would we not test that? They did think it was hysterical. I rang the doorbell. But I wanted to just see, because they had a Ring doorbell hooked up. So I just wanted to actually see if the doorbell actually rang, if the system was working.
It's on our checklist, absolutely.
They were surprised that I opened windows, that I cranked up the heat. So I wanted to see if, so I did always start with a couple things, because to give it time to actually work, you know.
Heat?
Right. And then I actually ran the oven. So the oven, that's, I'll be honest, that is my worst nightmare, is the oven and the microwave, because the buttons are never the same on any of those, the appliances. So I'm never like, how do you, it always takes me a minute, and then I have to explain to them. I'm like, I know how to run all these things, but I've never seen so many different appliances in my life. So trying to figure out how to run this dishwasher, how to run, and then I'm always trying to run a small load, especially if I'm about to use up water in a home that has a certain amount of water or
just
whatever.
Do a quick rinse or something. Or
so then I got to find the buttons for the quick rinse. But I run all of that. So I run, even if, so like this was funny.
Everybody in our office does that.
My client said, we're going to sell the washer and dryer. We don't need this. And I said, that's awesome. But what if it's actually not hooked up and you don't have hookups? And then they went, what? And I go, I've been to a house where it said it had a washer and dryer and they just set it in front of where it went.
I had the same thing on a dishwasher.
Yeah. And so I was like,
not hooked up. They just,
I don't trust.
Put it in a hole.
Yep. Well, I mean, I called you when I did that showing. Yeah. That they had a toilet with no toilet hole. So anyway, so our show is over today. Please join us. Thank you for even tuning in. We have Luke Day coming up. Basically, our office sponsors giving back to an animal foundation, making sure that we're giving back to a charity. So June 13th, we are going to give you the location soon. We are just confirming some more information.
It'll be around the Midnight Mine Humble Roots area.
And we'll be giving to Forget Me Not, Animal Rescue, and another animal rescue that we're just confirming if we can get them over there. But no matter what, we'll be giving back to the animal rescues of Alaska, making sure that they have some money. If not, we'll make sure that the money goes to a veterinarian clinic, that the money can be used for emergency animals. We just think it's fantastic that these people give to them. I just actually made my friend adopt a cat from Forget Me Not, so I cannot wait to meet him. His name was Tostito, and now it's Shorzy. So I cannot wait to meet this baby. So if you want to come and adopt, there will be animals there to adopt, and we will get you more information. Thanks for joining us. If you want to get a hold of us, you can reach me at 907-378-2400. And then if you want Kirk, you can just call me, and I'll book you with Kirk.
You guys enjoy your Saturday and stay tuned for Behind the Mission and the United Way.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Mediactive production.